podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CeCe, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Coming out this coffee cup.
Oh, Lord. So y'all heard that, right? Coffee. That means beware. It's about to get energetic up in this. So many things happened this week. We don't have time to talk about all of them. We're only going to talk about a few of them, but we're going to talk about them thoroughly. But I do have to mention the fact that somebody's weave and wig got snatched all the way off this week. And her name is Azealia Banks. Now, I know you like Azealia. I never have. I know you like her music. I know you try to have like a lot of compassion for her very public process that is killing everybody. But Azealia Banks has shown very ugly sides of herself. I believe she defended Bill Cosby at some point. Ouch. And this week, for whatever reason, she came for Zayn Malik, who she claims has copied her in some way. Who cares? And her posts were racist. They were Islamophobic. They were homophobic and so on. And a 14-year-old Disney Channel actress named Skye Jackson was not here for it and came for Azealia.
Actually, she did it, right? Like, so she, her first tweet is real mild.
It's it
like,
is.
Azealia Banks needs to simmer down.
Right.
That's it. And Azealia went for the jugular.
She was like, you know, that's, Banks doesn't read simmer down. That's just explosive already, right?
And then she started body shaming, told her she needed to get some hips, start her menses. And then when the girl started like throwing them bows, she was like, I know that's not you. I know that's your mother. And what she doesn't understand is that middle school girls are the devil, right? Like, so you don't get into a fight with a middle school girl. Like, any parent of a teenager, anybody that's been through middle school could tell you that. Like, you just don't do that. Mm. Right? Because now you're Azealia Skanks.
Well, you know, for someone who is not relevant, in my opinion, who hasn't really hit that mark where she is relevant to larger crowds, for her to tell a Disney Channel, now how many people have blown up by a Disney? Okay. Mm-hmm. How many people have Hannah Montana money? Very mm-hmm. few. Mm-hmm. To tell a Disney Channel actress that she is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And for that person to then say, with 2.3 million Instagram followers, who is really irrelevant? I just don't understand what she's doing, though. What's happening right now? Is this mental health? Is this keeping herself? Like, is this what she thinks that her persona is, that she just has to attack everyone? She's supposed to be for the promotion of Black women, and she's attacking a 14-year-old Black girl?
Right. This, what we're seeing is sort of like a gross, exaggerated play of why Azealia Banks is not where she should be career-wise. She was supposed to have something with Beyonce, didn't. She was supposed to have something. She was in the studio with Rihanna, didn't happen. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to be on tour with K. Michelle, couldn't.
That didn't happen.
Right. So, I mean, so many bridges have been burned, because then after those deals fell through, anyone in the business will tell you, just keep it moving. But she turns them into these like personal vendetta, you know, talking shit on people's names and whatever, whatever. So she's performing such this like banshee, destructive, angry Black woman stuff that probably was a massive survival tactic for her coming through, right? Like, I mean, that's where the compassion comes from when people say, wait, slow down. Let's be compassionate. I'm from New York.
Right.
I come from the same school system she came from. I know what she went through, and I know why she is the way she is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't excuse it. Doesn't make it okay. Just, I know. And I know that it's painful being Azealia Banks trying to come up in the game today, no matter how much talent you got behind you. But at the end of the day, she's using tools that work to get her to a certain place that can't work for her anymore, can't work for her on this level.
Right.
And she lost money, right? Like, yeah, so she was supposed to headline.
Yeah, she was canceled on a festival here in London. So, sorry.
Yeah, and
sorry.
Then the Brown Girls came for her.
As they should.
Right, right. Yeah, they came for her without being anti-Black, which was good. I mean, from what I saw, like, you know, probably somebody, there's always somebody out there being anti-Black. But,
you know, but I think they were trying to be the bigger people, so to speak. I think they were trying to show, look, you can come for someone. If you're in disagreement, fine, do it.
Right.
But you don't have to resort to these below the belt isms and obias to criticize something. If you feel like you, And the thing with it, for me, it just seems like it's all about her ego. It doesn't seem like she's ever talking about anything other than her ego.
But that's a tantrum. I mean, like, how inarticulate do you have to be like, okay, faggot, okay, nigger, okay, packy, okay, refugee? I mean, like, it's like second grade stuff. Like, right. Who does that? I mean, there's so many articulate ways. You're supposed to be a lyricist, dude. Like, you know, to like take somebody down without this like whack, you know, crazy. I don't even know how to, I don't want to say crazy because that's ableist, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
well, I honestly do believe a part of this, at least a part of it has to have some roots in mental health, because it's at this point, it's happened so many times and it's such an escalation and always on such a public platform. And it's not that she's profiting from it like certain politicians do. She's not profiting from it. She's losing money and she's still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, where is her support network and why haven't they held her hand yet?
I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how many people can we ask this of, right? Where was Whitney's people? Where are Lauryn Hill's people?
Ooh, yes.
Right. You know, where is Azealia Banks?
Banks is still young, though. It seems like, you know, Whitney had people, and one by one, she cut them off, unfortunately. Lauryn Hill had people. Similarly, she's done things to lose those people. Banks seems to be young enough, but I don't know.
But that's what happens. You get a little money, a little bit of success, and then you have power in relationships where otherwise you would not have power in relationships, mm-hmm. and you get to make some autonomous decisions that maybe you should not be making.
That's true. Well, in what I hate to call the big news of pop culture this week, mm-hmm. was not the release of what has already been released, the visual album Lemonade by Beyonce, but the essay, the very, very, very by myself awaited essay from If I'm the President, She Is Most Definitely the Chairman of the Bay Haters Club, Bell Hooks. Now, Bell Hooks, for those of you who might not know her, I was made aware that there are people who don't know her. I'm going to get to that, though. I'm going to get to those direct quotes on Facebook. But Bell Hooks is a prominent academic, Black feminist radical. And this is not her first time to weigh in on Beyonce. Some of you might remember when she called her a terrorist to feminism. Bell Hooks wrote in what I believe to be one of her most beautifully articulated essays on Beyonce. And because people, for whatever reason, feel like they have personal relationships with this pop star, were in their feelings all over the web. Janet Mock, for example, who considers Bell Hooks a friend, has been on a panel with Bell Hooks, was on that panel where she called Beyonce a terrorist. Janet Mock wrote a very long In Her Feelings update before posting this link to the essay. Janet Mock says that Bell Hooks is attacking Black feminism. So before we go into the detail of the essay, I would just like to start there. That's absolutely false. I don't believe this is what Bell Hooks is attacking. What I do believe is that Janet Mock has conflated feminism with, and this is from like a Bell Hooks very radical perspective, she's conflating Black feminism with upholding ideals that have been fed to us from the patriarchal spoon, right? I don't know if she still calls herself transgender, but Janet Mock is a male to female transgender person who, you know, would pass any day. Woman is fine. And Bell has asked her specifically, why is this, as she asked Laverne Cox, why is this your ideal way of presenting as a woman? And she wasn't really able to answer that question in a way that felt like it was outside of cultural, societal, patriarchal norms. So I think it is hard for people to wrap their head around.
But you should also note that for trans individuals, for MTFs in particular, that's also a matter of survival, right? Like halfway passing is a dangerous thing for an MTF person. Like if you kind of, if people can tell that you were born male, like that inspires violence.
I guess it depends on who you talk to, because Janet Mock and Laverne Cox have different views on that, right? Laverne Cox is very clear that she sometimes in the right light and the right makeup can pass and other times she can't. Whereas Janet Mock puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that she is and looks right. like, you know,
and I would
the
say,
ideal of a woman.
I would say that Janet passes more than me and I was born a woman, right? Like, so like Janet passes any old day, right? Like had right. two babies out of my body, but still Janet got me beat.
Right. Janet is beautiful. Janet is gorgeous, no doubt. So let's get into the Bell Hooks essay. We will, of course, link to it. She titled it Moving Beyond Pain. I think it is a beautiful essay. There was a critique of it by someone named Erica Thurman. She says, Bell, Black girls are healing and it is glorious. And it's a great example of someone who's in their feelings about past remarks that Belle has made about Beyonce and not reading this essay for what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
Belle Hooks, she says that Belle Hooks gives a scathing review, basically, of the visual album, which she does not. We're about to go into the points. What she does do, she honors it and respects it for what it is. She basically says, but it's still not going far enough.
Right.
Right. So first point, she says, quote, a display of Black female bodies that transgresses all boundaries. It's all about the body and the body as a commodity. This is certainly not radical or revolutionary. But then she distinguishes and said, Lemonade is different in its intention because its purpose is to seduce, celebrate, and delight, to challenge the ongoing present-day devaluation and dehumanization of the Black female body. Throughout Lemonade, the Black female body is utterly aestheticized, its beauty a powerful in-your-face confrontation. See, already that first, end quote, already that first statement that I want to talk about just shows the complexity that Belle thinks in, and that seems to be very hard for some people. Because what she's saying is, yes, this is a celebration of the Black female body, but it's still a commodifying celebration of the Black female body.
Like, on the one hand, I hear where you're going. If you take this essay in a vacuum, this is not a scathing review. This is just a critique. And I feel that people have a very hard time when they are so thirsty for something with the kinds of representations that have happened in Lemonade. And it happens. It happens on such a large scale on HBO with all these downloads and all of that. It's sacred to them now. So it's really hard when there's any critique of it. It's really hard for that not to be seen as talking negatively. If you look at this essay in a vacuum, it is a complex view on Lemonade. It is not a pure critique in the sense of, like, I hate Lemonade. Like, you cannot sum up this into I hate Lemonade. However, you have to look at the entirety of what someone has said about someone. This is coming from someone who has, out of her mouth, said Beyonce is a terrorist, right? Like, right. And who has said, who has thrown a lot of shade on Beyonce, and
what is a lot of
has
shade?
A lot of, and has a lot of misgivings about Beyonce's kind of unquestioned place in feminism or as a feminist icon, and has used a lot of harsh language to critique that in the past. So what people are doing that is they're looking very strongly at what Belle is saying about Beyonce now in Lemonade and taking it and holding it with what she has said in the past. And so, yeah, there is some conflation there. Mm-hmm. But if Azealia Banks writes tomorrow an essay on anti-Islamic sentiment and brown people in general, they're going to look at the body of Azealia Banks's work. You know, wasn't you calling somebody a dirty refugee? Like, who are you?
I don't believe that, even though, look, first of all, other than calling someone a terrorist, yeah, it was a strong word, but let's take that into the context of the panel. The panel is done with pop stars, often, mm-hmm. academics and pop stars. It's at the New School, which is a very liberal school. It's televised. It's you can watch it on YouTube, whatever. She's very harsh with her guests. She was harsh with Janet Mock in that panel. She was very harsh with Laverne Cox. I feel like she almost has a deeper relationship with Laverne Cox because she was harsh in the questions that she asked her, and they were able to continue to have a constructive conversation. When I read this essay, I think, first of all, what happens is people are taking this so personally. Beyonce is not your friend. Let me give you the update, people. Beyonce is not your bestie. She don't know you. She's not riding for you. So please sit all the way down. Two, no, I really believe that people are taking this personally in a way because they identify with some aspects of her story. Why not? So let me give you some quotes on Facebook. Somebody actually wrote me, but it's so funny how people can criticize someone when they're riding on their coattails. So I had to school this person that Belle Hooks has been relevant well before Beyonce was. Well, let me tell you this. There are so many people who don't know Belle Hooks. Okay, well, thank you for explaining that ignorance. But again, Belle Hooks is not writing an essay about Lemonade to keep herself relevant. Mm-hmm. This is what she mm-hmm. does. Okay, so that was one thing. A lot of people were talking about Belle Hooks because they didn't know her. Then someone else wrote, well, I like angry Beyonce. Why can't Beyonce be angry? Again, let me go to the quote on what she's saying here. Belle Hooks, quote, among the many mixed messages embedded in Lemonade is the celebration of rage. Smug and smiling in her golden garb, Beyonce is the embodiment of a fantastical female power, which is just that, pure fantasy. Images of female violence undercut a central message embedded in Lemonade that violence in all its forms, especially the violence of lies and betrayal, hurts. She goes on to write, contrary to the misguided notions of gender equality, women do not and will not seize power and create self-love and self-esteem through violent acts. female violence is no more liberatory than male violence, end quote. I think that's a powerful statement.
Yeah, and you also have to take feminism at its word. How would you feel if a man, if this was Jay-Z's Lemonade, and Jay-Z was talking about, no, seriously,
I know,
was some dude, and he was walking around talking about, oh, my baby left me, and I'm just going to be violent. There would be a very different view of that. Of a black man with a baseball bat just like wrecking shit because some girl left him. Mm-hmm. Like, we criminalize that in 0.2 seconds.
Right.
But Bae's doing it and it's liberatory? Like, how? Why? Right. When? Right? So let's critique that. We can't just give everything a pass. I mean, she's an academic. This is what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to unpack this like complex stuff that's happening in what we see as relatively simple stuff. People are not ready for that.
They're not ready. But I think what is hard in the and I didn't get in many conversations, but you know, somebody when somebody wrote that about Bell Hooks making herself relevant, you know, I did have to clap back on that. I was, you know, and I'm not even the biggest Bell Hooks fan, but I was just like, look, that's not the case. And I was like, please,
I see in your bookshelf, so shut the fuck up. I think you really wrote the Lemonade syllabus, actually. So, let's be right here for a second.
So it's just like, when I actually wrote that, I said, if anyone believes that Bell Hooks is trying to keep herself relevant by talking about Beyonce, let me send them a Black feminism syllabus. And the person wrote back snidely, we'll get to sending. So I copied and pasted the link from Melissa Harris Perry's Black feminist syllabus that is online and available for everyone. But I think what is really hard for people to understand is Bell Hooks is always talking about intersectionality, Keeley, and how capitalism, as she calls it, imperialism, patriarchy, and white supremacy, how they work together. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm laughing at you. You know I'm laughing at you.
She talks about how these things work together. And so for one person was like, why can't Beyonce be upset about being cheated on and just desire her dad's love and her husband's love? Like, why is that wrong? And why is that, you know, being a part of the patriarchy to just want to be loved by your men? And I was like, well, that would be, you know, taking that out of the picture of patriarchy would be like, why is her blonde weave a problem? That'd be like trying to take it away from white supremacy. We're so steeped in these things. Like, it's impossible to disentangle them at this point.
I'm going to get real personal now for a second, because especially around the issue of violence, I feel like people need to personalize these things. And I've had my own Lemonade story. I'm like Jay-Z grandmother.
Miss Hattie. Miss Hattie.
I've had my own lemons. And I have definitely been cheated on. And in one situation in particular, I became, you know, I had pulled the hot sauce out of my bag.
Uh-oh.
And I had my own Beyonce moment of being violent. And I've had to come to terms with a reckoning for that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't okay, regardless. And I was cheated in the most horrible, like all of the Jerry Springerisms that you could think of happening. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
It went down.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, me then using that to like vandalize property and have this anger and commit criminal acts.
Mm-hmm.
I also have to be like, okay, wait a second. That's not okay.
Right.
I think that if we can also say, you know, that was wrong, what happened to me, that wasn't cool. But me going out there and being violent and committing criminal acts is also not cool. It's also not okay, which is essentially what Bella's saying.
Exactly. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. So the you know, thank you for supplying me with the video, because I would have never paid to watch it. I think what's really beautiful about it is, first of all, the spoken word by British Somalian poet Warsan Shear, not written by Beyonce. Just need to put that out there. Anyway, I think Bell Hooks maybe would have changed her essay points if the progression would have been different. So it was beautiful. It started with what? I don't remember.
Intuition.
And then there's like emptiness, and you know, there's all these things, and it ends, and it goes on to reconciliation and whatever, right? But what she points out is the reconciliation is now we see some lovey-dovey pictures of you and Jay-Z holding each other. Y'all got some little romantic feelings going again. But is it truly resolved? What is the narrative? Like, so many Black women that I know, that's all they want, right? The Black dude comes back, apologizes, makes them feel good for a moment. And then Becky with the good hair is forgotten.
Or your violence is forgotten, right? Like, because then your violence compounds all of the things that you have to heal from. The point is that the skills in dealing with conflict just were not functional, were non-existent. Mm-hmm. And what caused the conflict in the first place was never addressed.
Right.
And that's okay, because that's how most basic relationships go, right? Like, they happen. Someone blows up, I'm angry. I mean, like, these are very basic emotions. I'm angry. I'm sad.
Right.
I think you're cheating on me. Ba, 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 ba. And look, I love lemonade. I love it. You know, I might actually mortgage my house to go get a couple tickets to.
I need you not to do that. Now, if Serena Williams makes an appearance and twerks
on my lap,
I might join you for that.
Oh, yes. But all I'm saying is that as someone who really appreciates it, I'm showing it to you. I'm showing it to my babies. I'm like, look at this. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. I love it for its narrative quality. I love it because it's done something with music videos that I wish had been done before, which is that it ties them together Excuse me?
Moonwalker did that.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So I missed it, but it seems, what are you talking about? It's the Michael Jackson thing?
Yes.
So I missed it.
Okay.
Yeah. And what I saw from Michael Jackson with, like, Remember the Time and with Thriller and stuff, but he would have a video that that.
Moonwalker is an entire film. You missed it, okay. So we're not going to be able to talk about it.
Exactly. I'm talking about on the scale of, like, it's several videos and they're all cohesive and they all tell a story. And you're bringing in artists to tie them together, like the poet and the visual artists and all that stuff. I love that. It's all coming off of the heels of Hamilton, mm-hmm. that I thoroughly enjoyed with my son, who is just with the audio already. He was sold. He had never seen anybody sing anything or do a dance move, and he was already sold. Mm-hmm. And so coming off of that, where we just absolutely enjoyed that, coming off of The Wiz, it was so great to see an artist take those elements and put it into what they were doing with all these music videos. So I love that. I just love that.
Okay.
But it is also, like, it is a basic bitch handbook. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
It's like, I thought you was. Yes, you was. Now I'm angry. I'm gonna fuck your shit up. This just like my father. You know, I mean, like,
yes.
And next thing you know, it's like, oh, babe, you come back to me because we can do anything together.
You're the love of my life.
And people are dying in these streets. So it is some basic bitch shit, but I love it because we all have it in our basic bitch.
Okay.
We
so I'm
do.
Just going to end with what Belle ended with to close this out. Quote, to truly be free, we must choose beyond simply surviving adversity. We must dare to create lives of sustained, optimal well-being and joy. In that world, the making and drinking of lemonade will be a fresh and zestful delight, a real life mixture of the bitter and the sweet, and not a measure of our capacity to endure pain, but rather a celebration of our moving beyond pain, end quote.
That's real profound. And my inner basic bitch says, fuck that noise. I didn't came here to play with you bitches. I came here to say, no, sorry.
In our second segment, Loretta Lynch.
My baby mama, also known as my baby mama.
Okay, let's slow down. So, Loretta Lynch, the first Black woman to hold the office of U.S. Attorney General.
Yes.
Yes. Originally from Greensboro, North Carolina.
And she... That's right. Okay.
Also Harvard Law School alum. Not a surprise. And for those of you who care, yes, she is a Delta Sigma Theta. Yeah, had to put it out there. Okay, so as has received much attention, thank you, North Carolina, for putting the South on the map for negativity once again. North Carolina passed HB2, House Bill 2, in reaction to an ordinance passed in Charlotte, which would have allowed transgender people to use the bathroom according that corresponds to their gender identity. HB2 was literally passed and then signed into leg- to law on the same exact day in March 2016. The bill requires that transgender people or people in general use the bathroom that corresponds to the sex that was defined for them at birth rather than the gender identity that they have defined for themselves, because there aren't real problems in the world. North Carolina is also the governor, McCrory, is up for election this year, so I can only see this as a ploy to stay in office. The U.S. Attorney General held a great press conference this week with an incredible speech on trans rights, and she has, after trying to work with the governor on it, has decided to file a lawsuit in civil rights law.
Mm-hmm.
So what is incredible about this story, Denise, as someone who lived in North Carolina for many years?
Me, as someone, I'm the person that lived in North Carolina, not you.
I said, what is incredible, Denise, as someone...
You got to do the inflection at the back. What is incredible? Like that. You got to hit it up. What is incredible about it? What's incredible about it is that North Carolina Governor Matt McCrory is from Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
The Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina, who is also supporting HB2, is from Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Another Senator, President pro tempore Phil Berger, is from New Rochelle, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Attorney General Loretta Lynch is from Durham, North Carolina. You said Greensboro. Some people are saying Durham, so I'm not clear. But she's definitely
Greensboro. From Greensboro, North Carolina.
Greensboro, like 40 minutes away from Durham. But yeah, Greensboro.
She spent a lot of time in Durham because of her mm-hmm. father, but she's from Greensboro. Anyway.
Okay, but she's definitely from North Carolina.
Yes.
Do you feel what I'm saying? So these are this isn't the only thing that's happening in North Carolina. North Carolina has been a radical right experiment for a minute. They took over the House and the Senate and with the Republican Party. And they're just like passing through. They're making it a spearhead state for stuff that would not fly elsewhere in the United States. Even when Tennessee's like, nah, we good. You know, you got problems.
Right, right.
And North Carolina's like, no, we're going to go full speed ahead of it. The Attorney General in North Carolina is like, I'm not even going to defend this right. because it's some bullshit and mm-hmm. I'm a lawyer. And so I should know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have to pay an outside firm to defend this. This is in a state where we're under constant budgetary constraints. And hidden in this bill, it's exactly hidden if you could like read, but in this bill is basically like that local municipalities cannot pass their own, enforce actually, their own minimum wage criteria on private corporations. So it's about stripping local municipalities of a ton of rights. Mm-hmm. And there are more bills that they're planning where they're like, okay, local municipalities are getting their little hubs like Durham or Chapel Hill or Charlotte mm-hmm. or Asheville, where you have a high percentage of highly educated, progressive people right. that are taking over city councils and trying to create their livable place within North Carolina. And the state government is not having it. Mm-hmm. So there are sanctuary cities within North Carolina. Sanctuary cities are places where if you call to report a crime of car theft or domestic violence, the police are not going to share your immigration status with federal officials. They're not going to criminalize you or enforce any immigration laws. That is what a sanctuary city is. This is so essentially important because if you're being beat by your husband and you happen to be undocumented, you should not be thrown in jail for calling the police so that you can survive. Now, what the new bill purports to do is to strip sanctuary cities of state funding.
Mm-hmm.
Is to force them to basically enforce immigration law. I mean, and on top of that, what has happened is that a school district in North Carolina recently voted to allow students to bring pepper spray into the school. And one of the school board members said they might need this if they encounter a transgendered person in the bathroom.
Right.
So
inciting violence against another human being. Thank you.
Exactly. So here you have a bunch of outsiders that are politicians within North Carolina, but that are not from North Carolina, let's mm-hmm. be clear. And they're in North Carolina doing the devil's work, mm-hmm. essentially. They're mm-hmm. just in there, just trying trying to like make, you know, go down in history as the worst human beings on the planet. That's what they're doing right now. And Loretta was like, I'm not having any of it. You can suck on these boss balls. It was such a great.
Not really sure that's what she said.
That's a direct quote from the press. Let me tell you, I am Loretta Lynch's anger translator. She's too smooth. I was like, what is up with her poker face, though? It was so intense. Especially with them very, very clueless reporters who was asking about El Chapo.
Why are we asking about El Chapo? Why are we asking about Mississippi? Why are we asking about Hillary Clinton emails at the press conference?
Oh my God.
North Carolina's House Bill 2. I don't know what was happening.
Wow. Because this is such a rich issue. Like, why are you asking about this other stuff? If I was her anger translator at that point, I would have said, why are you bringing up old stuff? But, you know, she had to hire me. Because, Loretta, I was just like, I have never been this excited about a lawyer, right? Like, ever. Like, this is amazing.
But from like a historical context, what does it mean that a Black woman, the very first Black woman...
And ain't we supposed to be the most homophobic people on the planet?
There we go. The very first Black woman who holds the office of Attorney General is giving very clear answers and very clear statements on the problems with this law, not only from a judicial standpoint, but also from the standpoint of a historical context. She compared it to Jim Crow. Black woman compared it to Jim Crow. She also has a South Asian descent principal deputy assistant attorney general for civil rights.
Yes.
Who then went on to speak about what the difference is between gender identity and sex. Now, you would think that we would know it, considering we're the ones who made that distinction in North America. There is sex and there is gender. But people haven't quite gotten there yet. It was a beautiful thing to see. But when we look back on this in a couple of years, do you think that that will play a role, that this was a Black woman doing this?
They forget. I mean, I think the gay rights movement has proven more than, I think, white feminist movement that has happened. Mm. The gay rights movement has proven that white people are white first, yes. Right? Like, beyond, you know, it's like, yeah, this disabled thing sucks, but we're also white people. Yeah, this gay thing is giving us some issues, but white people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and Caitlyn Jenner, right? Like, so, right. So that's because the fact that Caitlyn Jenner can exist mm-hmm. in all her Republican glory proves that beyond any of your identities, you know, because here you have a highly femme woman mm-hmm. who is trans, who is all these things, a parent, blah, blah, blah. All of these things that you would think would give them an investment in progressive politics, that the thing that is important and most important is this, like, whiteness.
Right.
Right. The political fulcrum of whiteness is so attractive. It's even attractive to poor whites mm-hmm. that will be like, cut off my food stamps, but I'm white, damn it.
Right.
Right. Like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I have some amazing friends that are in an organization called Southerners on New Ground, or SONG. Mm-hmm. And Serena Sebring went on the Joy Reid show and said some amazing things about how there are people of color, queer people, women people, undocumented people within the South that are working so hard to change the reality on the ground. And I know how important that work is, but I also know how hard that work is mm-hmm. because of how entrenched notions of whiteness and privilege are in the South, in North Carolina in particular.
Right.
So in the activism that I was doing in North Carolina, I saw all this stuff like Nostradamus right. in the sense of like, I don't know if I can remain to be one of these people who's like fighting the good fight. And anytime you're dealing with these politicians, at least for me, it felt like really dirty work. Mm-hmm. Because the way that they work is very different. Lobbyists have come out of North Carolina saying that the politicians in North Carolina, there's actually a citation will be in later. Mm-hmm. I was a great student, as you can tell. I will give you later a citation. But there are lobbyists that are coming out of North Carolina right now after the HB2 that are saying, you know, what's actually happening is that the politicians have come to the lobbyists and said, you need to convince the companies that you represent not to join PayPal and Microsoft and other companies in coming up against North Carolina, against this bill. And because if they do anything they put before us, we will block. So they are willing to like cut off the money, because at the end of the day, they're going to get paid. So they may have to like cut off Head Start, defund education, right? Like cut a police. They don't care. They're going to get paid. They're going to get their health insurance. It's going to be all right for the politicians. So this...
Well, we'll see now, because that's one of the main things happening, right? The U.S. Education Department and other federal agencies could ultimately cut off money to North Carolina to force compliance, which means that there are over $1 billion up for grabs concerning student loan funding that they get. I think that... And obviously, which school is it? Is it NC State or NCU? I can't remember.
State school system, which is led by UNC.
Mm-hmm. So it's UNC. So UNC is now in separate talks with the Attorney General's office because they don't want to lose that money.
But I feel like UNC, I feel like the politicians that passed HB2 saw this coming, because months ago, what happened with UNC was that they put in an extremely partisan, I would say unqualified Republican head of UNC that came into UNC guns blazing, devalidating the UNC anti-discriminatory policy. That was like one of the first things that she did. There were some professors that were like, I'm looking at other states. I'm looking at other schools because this woman was put in place. I mean, she came in with such a political
agenda. But now that they are in, but now that they're in separate talks away from the governor's house, they're in separate talks with the Attorney General's office, I believe that they will be compelled to act more quickly because, as I mentioned, there are billions that they could lose from federal agencies and the Department of Education. What I think is concerning is a very recent study was released, a journal article that showed that women and minorities, now the day that that title finally gets snapped will be a happy day for all women of color. But until that day happens, anyway, an article just showed that women and minorities are sanctioned quite heavily for doing the work that diversity and equality works in business contexts. So that is why I asked, what do you think the importance is? Or that's also one of the reasons that I asked, what do you think the importance is that this is being done by a Black woman? I guess only time will tell. But so we salute you, Loretta Lynch.
Please keep up, Loretta Lynch. Oh, what you need? You need some fried chicken. What do you need? I could cook.
Okay.
Can I come to your house?
Stop talking.
We could watch Orange is the New Black. We could hang out. I could do your nails. I give a bomb pedicure, Loretta. What do you need? I got back rub skills. What do you need, Loretta? I got you. I'm here for you in this fight. What do you need, Loretta? That's what we should all be asking Loretta right now.
You need to first address her appropriately, Attorney General Lynch. Okay. In our third segment, what are we looking forward to? What's making us happy?
You make me happy, Miss Cece. Am I addressing you properly?
You are. How I make you happy? How I make you happy?
I should say Dr. Cece.
There we go.
Hey. Hey. You make me happy every day because I have monkey mind and you're like completely centered and you do meditation and stuff. So it's great. It's a wonderful balance. Just make me happy all the time.
You are a mess. You actually have something to tell us about this week, or have you come prepared?
I came prepared.
Okay.
Be prepared. This lesson must be shared. Okay, so I came prepared because I am going to the Black Arts Retreat, which is a festival of Black women outside of Berlin
in
the most racist country you could find. You know, so we are basically going to a Nazi. No, we're not. But we're going to a part of the country that has proven to be very, very dangerous for brown people somehow. But hopefully I will not die and be attacked, and I will meet their other unscathed Black women, and we will be in the woods doing like yoga and talking about chakras. It'll be great. It is going to be wonderful. And it's the first time I'm going to said retreat. I have no idea what to expect, but I'm bringing my fancy camera and I'm going to take some amazing photos with good lighting, because you know, we love good lighting. So that's what's happening.
No backlight. So that's called the Black Arts Retreat, and it's going to be held near Berlin.
Brandenburg, right?
But it's a Black Arts Retreat for women. Is it like Black Women Arts Retreat, or what's the name?
I wasn't clear at first. It's a new retreat, so I feel like, you know, they're kind of fleshing out their branding.
Okay.
But what has come out of it was that it is for Black women.
Okay.
But it's called the Black Arts Retreat. They need to like put that it's four Black women in the subtitles or something. Because at first I thought it was going to be gender mixed. Mm. But it became clear that everybody that's going and everyone that's presenting is a Black woman.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you safe travels. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Why, thank you. Why, thank you. And I would also like to apologize and offer my sincere apologies for sexualizing the brilliant and wonderful and highly accomplished Loretta Lynch. I'm really sorry. I will not do it for the next 5 minutes.
Well, as she never does, thank you for asking, Denise. I am looking forward to the beautiful women that I am meeting currently. I have, you know, as you know, I founded a project called Oya Retreats, and they are yoga and meditation retreats for Black women and women of color. And I plan on doing some urban retreats in London, just day retreats for those who may not be able to afford to go away for a weekend and for those who may not be able to get away for an entire weekend. And because of that, I met a beautiful woman from the city of Brighton, a little seaside city that everyone thinks is so cute. And she's been in the struggle for a minute. And she's also trying to start women of color yoga classes in the city of Brighton and is being met with a great deal of resistance. So next week, we'll see each other on Thursday at the Black Lives Matter movement resistance event that will be taking place here. Black people. So there's no schedule. There's also no listing. And the venue hasn't been announced yet, but I'm confident that all these things will come together by next Thursday so that I can attend this event and meet with her again so we can talk about how we will find a space, come what will, in Brighton for the Women of Color yoga events to take place. So I'm looking forward to all of those things.
Yes, that sounds amazing.
Thank you. Hopefully. We'll see. Well, that's all for this week. If you'd like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we discussed today. Feel free to get at us. Until next time, peace out.